important reason is that we love them. I think one of the greatest hindrances to us bringing people to the Lord or telling them about Him is that we really don't love them that much. That might seem an accusatory comment, but do we really love our neighbors, those around us? John 3:16 is such a familiar passage to us that I think we forget its importance. God so loved the world, okay, every individual, that He gave His Son. He made the ultimate sacrifice for them. There are people that we don't like, that it's hard to love, isn't it? Maybe those who aren't like us, who maybe are from a different place and don't have the same values as us. Those living on the streets, maybe gay people. There are many people, maybe our neighbors who are ornery. We don't love them. But Jesus commands us that we need to bring people to Him. And firstly, I would like to suggest because we love them. Secondly, through connections. I can't tell everybody about the Lord, but I can at least connect them with those who can. Maybe there's a teenager that I can't relate with, but I connect him with another teenager. One of our Shining Stars kids, when he grew up, he moved to a different town. I connected him with a pastor in that town because I couldn't be in touch with him very much. One of my son's classmates who just graduated a few months ago, she moved to go to college in Boston. I connected her with somebody I knew there. So we bring people to Jesus through our love and our burden for them, through connections. This morning I was having breakfast over at the Aspen Hotel. And there was a woman there named Judy whose husband has died and who doesn't have any children. So I presume she's on her own and possibly quite lonely. Now I can't probably follow up on her, but if anybody has any time, drop in and visit with Judy. She works 5 days a week over at the Aspen in the restaurant section. And probably would like a friend. And thirdly, through prayer. Sometimes when I go for my walks in the evenings, I pray for the neighborhoods I walk through. And we all can pray for anybody, anywhere in the world. Operation World is a great resource. You can find it online. There are books put up by Operation Mobilization. When we have our times of prayer in our office, we use Operation World to pray for people all over the world. In 1 Timothy 2, 1-4, it says, "First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people." And it goes on. It's our responsibility to pray for people that maybe we can't interact with personally. People who are in other parts of the world that Jesus loves and who need to know Him. Kirtana, a young girl from Shining Stars, her mother was having an affair with a gentleman in the village, and she asked her mother to come to church. She took her to church. Her mother repented, turned from what she was doing, and started coming to church, and she left that affair and is doing well. A little girl, maybe 10 years old, who brought her mother to Jesus. Is there anyone in your life that the Lord may be bringing to your mind that you need to bring to Jesus or bring Jesus to them? My second point is that we need to bring to Jesus and not hinder them, not be a part of any hindrance in their life. Now, when we see the disciples in this situation, it says, the disciples rebuked them and told them not to bother him. The disciples probably were self-appointed bodyguards. We're going to keep these little nuisances away from Jesus. But Jesus, it says, was indignant with his disciples, as if something unjust had been done because they were hindering those children from coming to him. Now, if we look at the context of Mark chapter 10, we see that the Pharisees in the first few verses were trying to find loopholes in the law. Jesus, the law says that we can divorce, etc., etc. So they're they were complicating their faith, and that was actually hindering them from understanding kingdom values. The rich young ruler was hindered from knowing the Lord because of his love for riches. James and John, Jesus' own disciples, were hindered from understanding kingdom values because of their status thinking. They wanted a place on the right and the left-hand side of God, of Jesus, in the kingdom. But we see at the end of the chapter, blind Bartimaeus, his simple faith allowed him to be healed. And as Jesus said in these verses, unless you have the faith like a little child, you will not be able to enter the kingdom of God. So we see that those who seem to be least important, children, blind Bartimaeus, that's the kind of faith that God accepted. Now, I think it's really important to know why Jesus was so upset here. If you go to the next chapter, we won't read it, but you know of the other time Jesus got really angry, and that was when he chased the people out of the temple. It says he was indignant, he was angry. The reason is, it wasn't just because the merchants were setting up shop there to sell their things, but it was because they were setting up in a place where the Gentiles were to worship. Now let's suppose this is the temple in Jerusalem. We, the Jews, were allowed in the temple to worship Jesus. But the Gentiles, there was a place designated for the Gentiles outside the temple to worship. Well, the gospel is for everybody, isn't it? For Jews and Gentiles. It was in that place set up for the Gentiles that these men had set up shop. And that was hindering the Gentiles from worshiping God. And so that's why Jesus went in and was so angry. It's hard for us to see Jesus angry, isn't it, sometimes? But it says he was indignant. He was ticked off because people were being hindered from understanding the kingdom and the gospel. So how, there may be ways that we can actually hinder people from understanding God and knowing Jesus. One is through showing a lack of importance. Okay, this is what the disciples did. These little nuisances, get them out of the way. Jesus has come. He's the guy. He's the man. But Jesus was upset because there is nobody that's unimportant in the kingdom, is there? We approached a church in Los Angeles when I worked there years ago and asked them if we could use their building for some children's ministry there. And they said, no, sorry, the kids might mess up our building, might make it dirty or disfigure the chairs or the walls or whatever it was. I felt that they were a hindrance in those kids growing. Sometimes it's through a lack of apathy that we can hinder people from coming to know the Lord. What can I do? I can't argue my faith well enough with this person. I don't really care much. I mean, you know, let them go to church, let the pastor visit them. It could be through apathy that we hinder people from coming to the Lord. The D.L. Moody, most of you have heard that name. After he came to know the Lord, he made a commitment to make sure that he wouldn't go one day without telling somebody about the Lord. And there were times where he'd be in bed, and then he would say, oh no, I didn't tell anybody about the Lord today. He'd get out of bed and go out and try and find somebody to tell. And there were several stories of fruit coming from those visits. And so it could be an apathy on our part. Do we really love people enough around us to reach out with Jesus' love? I remember an early batch of our youngsters in Shining Stars. We had a great youth group going, and kids would come, you know, they were committed. Every Saturday they'd come. They wouldn't want to miss it. But what happened was, over the 3, 4, 5 years, this group got so ingrown and loved spending time together so much that others didn't feel welcome to come to the youth group. They were hindered. And that really was, a sad time for me. And we tried to get this other kids to feel welcome, but this had turned them off, and that was a hindrance to them. I get really upset when my youngsters, my teachers, don't prepare their lessons well to teach in Sunday school or at the center, because that could actually hinder kids from understanding the Bible, which is the most exciting book on the planet. But if we're boring, if we don't prepare well, we can actually hinder them from understanding Jesus. It could be through disobedience that we hinder. My lifestyle might not reflect what I teach or preach. And I'm sure I have been guilty of that at times, where I've hindered people from knowing Jesus because of the things I've done or said, my lifestyle. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says that you will be my witnesses. So it's all of our duty, isn't it? Not just a duty, but a privilege to be Christ's ambassadors. But we need to practice what we preach, walk the talk. Gandhi, Mahatma Gandhi. You can read the quote up there. I like your Christ, but I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ. Can you imagine if Gandhi had come to know the Lord, what an impact he would have made? But it was Christians that hindered him and possibly many others from coming to know him. And at the end of the passage, it says that he took them in his arms and placed his hands on their heads and blessed them before he left and went on from there. They were just expecting him probably to maybe say a word, maybe touch the kids. God bless you, child. But he took them in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. In the Jewish culture, the significance of blessing is that we invite God to call our needs to mind and respond in meeting them. Their souls will be well. To pass on what's mine is yours. So passing on what I have received, the blessings I have received, salvation, other blessings, and passing them on to another. That's the way we bless. And that's the reason. That's the significance of blessing. And I think there are many ways that we can bless our neighbors, our friends, the community around us. I'll just mention a few, and we'll wrap it up in just a few minutes. One is through meaningful touch. Can I ask you to come up here a second, please? I want to show you our Shining Stars handshake. It's really a fun one. And this is really a significant touch, I think, for kids. Well, he's tall. Okay. So you go like this. Slide. Backhand. Forehand. Then you snap. All right. Now, can you imagine doing that to about 30 kids a day? It takes quite a long time to say hello and goodbye to the kids. But I think that's really a meaningful touch. And many times I'll put my hands on the kids' heads and maybe I'll say a little prayer in my mind for the kids. Lord, bless them. But I think, yeah, a hug, a holy kiss. These are ways that we can bless another person. Jesus gave us a lot of great words, didn't he? He said, I'm going on to prepare a place for you. I love you. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. So we can encourage others just through the words we say. You look great today. I hope you have a good week. Is there anything I can do to help you? Right? I heard that it takes 4 positive words to outweigh 1 negative word. So we should be very careful how we use our words. They can be a great blessing. They can also be a great discouragement or a curse to people. Thirdly, through attaching high value to our kids. Now, I'd like to briefly tell you the story of Renuka. I had a little video. This is a different... Well, in Genesis 1:26, it says that we were made in God's image, right? We all have intrinsic value. Is there anybody less valuable than another or more valuable than another? No, not in God's eyes. And so valuing people for who they are in Christ. Renuka was a young lady who started at our center when she was probably about 12, 13, 14. I had a little video, but it wasn't working. So I'll just tell you her story briefly. She lived right across from our center, strong Hindu family. She had a younger brother and sister who also came to our center. And, you know, her father was a drinker and sadistic. He would come home. He wouldn't let his family sleep. And of course, when Renuka eventually came to know the Lord, she put her faith in Christ, and her sister Anusha, in fact, at the very beginning, that was her sister, she really started to grow in the Lord. She would come over and, you know, empty her heart, and just we'd be there to talk with her about what was going on. When she finished high school, we organized for her. She was interested in the ministry and growing in the Lord, so we organized for her to join Operation Mobilization for a while. And she spent about a year and a half with them and really continued growing in the Lord. Well, on her Operation Mobilization, one of the churches they stopped to minister in for some time, there was a young man there, and her parents wanted her to marry a Hindu. Growing up, her parents were very, very strong Hindus, and they still are. But they would prevent her and her sister from reading the Bible. So what they would do is they would take their school notebooks and write verses in there. So when they were studying, they were actually reading the Bible. And they would go under the covers and read the Bible. They were so hungry to know the Lord. Well, after she finished with OM, her parents wanted to marry her to a Hindu, but she really didn't want to do that. And we, as a Shining Stars family, we prayed for her. Well, eventually God organized that her parents agreed for her to marry this Christian man. She now has a baby. I wish I had a picture of her, but she's in her young 20s, growing in the Lord, and now she's actually running a children's center, and we're supporting her from behind. She's just a great example of, you know, girls in India are not valued very highly. That's why I'm focusing on value here, valuing people. In India, if you have a boy, oh, people say plus one. If you have a girl, minus one. It's horrible. But we do our best to make sure that girls especially, we value boys too, but the girls especially understand their value in Christ. And we support a few girls going to school. So that and sometimes when other supporters support Indians, they say, give us a list of the girls you have. Because they know sometimes parents won't even feed the girls in their home the same food as their boys. They'll send them to lower, you know, schools, so they don't get as good an education as their own sibling brothers. And so we need to make sure that those who we're reaching out to and blessing know that they are valued by us and by Christ. Through picturing a special future, for those, that's another way we can bless people. These three and the one on the left are all kids that have grown up in one of our centers, and now they're junior teachers in our centers, teaching the other younger kids. Sometimes I'll ask the kids, I'll say, so what would you like to be when you grow up? And, you know, they'll say, policeman, doctor, lawyer, et cetera, et cetera. And I say, would you like to teach in Shining Stars when you get older? And most of them shoot their hands up because, you know, that's kind of a little promotion for them, you know. But so we try and let the kids know that they have a special future that God has planned for them. And finally, through an active commitment, this is another way that we can bless. This is a leader at one of our village centers. And part of his ministry is just to have a little first aid kit. And people now come to his home for Band-Aids and some basic first aid. And that's a way that he reaches out and blesses others with the love of Christ. Paul, in Colossians 1, 28 and 29, and we'll close here in just a few minutes, said, him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy, that he powerfully works within me. Paul's goal was to touch every person that he could. And I would like to challenge us together today that we reach out as Jesus did to bring as many as we can to him. Okay? We need to plant seeds and we need to water. We may not be the one who brings somebody to the Lord, but we need to be sensitive to people's needs, build relationships, love them, and bring as many as we can without hindering them in any way and blessing them. We, as Christians, have authority to bless. That's not only for the pastor or for Billy Graham or those kinds of people. All of us here who have Christ living in us have the ability to bless others just through our love towards them. I'd just like to close with a story, if that's okay. Ted, is that all right? Take me about 3 minutes. About Granny Brand. I'll just read the story, and then I'll close in prayer. She was a great example of one who, until her dying day, was taking Christ's love to those around her. Dr. Paul Brand, a well-known doctor and author, was raised in India. His parents were missionaries there. In his book titled In His Image, he writes about his mother. He writes that when his mother was 75 years old, she was still walking miles every day, visiting the villages in the southern part of India, teaching the people about Jesus. One day at age 75, she was traveling alone and fell and broke her hip. After 2 days of just lying there in pain, some workers found her and put her on a makeshift cot and loaded her into her jeep, into a jeep, and drove 150 miles over deep rutted roads to find a doctor who could set the broken bones. But the very bumpy ride damaged her bones so badly that her hip never completely healed. He said, I visited my mother in her mud-covered hut several weeks after all this happened and watched as she took bamboo crutches that she had made herself and moved from one place to another with her feet just dragging behind because she had lost all feeling in them. He said, at age 75, with a broken hip, unable to stand on her own two legs, I thought I'd made a pretty intelligent suggestion. I suggested that she retire. She turned around and looked at me and said, oh, of what value is that? If we try to preserve this body just a few more years, and it is not being used for God, of what value is that? So she kept on working. She kept on riding her donkey to villages until she was 93. At age 93, she couldn't stay on her donkey anymore. She kept falling off. But she didn't stop teaching. Indian men would carry her in hammocks from one village to another. And she continued to tell people about Jesus until the age of 95 when she died. Paul writes, my most vivid memory of my mother is of her propped up against a stone wall as people are coming to her from their homes, schools, and places of work. I can still see the wrinkles in her face and her skin so tanned by the weather and the heat. I saw her speaking to those people. I looked at them and saw the sparkle in their eyes and the smiles on their faces. And I saw them deeply moved by the message of God's love spoken by this old woman. I knew that what they saw was not an old woman who had passed her prime, but a beautiful person bringing tidings of love straight from heaven.